right. So we're a couple of minutes late. That's the way it goes. And, you know, I just remembered to put our post up that we're on the air. So let's get that out there because probably nobody's listening at the moment. But this is North Shore Sports Night on a Monday night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Tim Kearns should be here pretty soon. I'm going to just check the website, see if our post is up with our radio thing here. We've got a lot of people that we're going to be talking to tonight, mostly football. Not all football, but mostly football. So let me just cancel the music here. There we go. And so let's see here. Yep, okay, we do have our post up, and so you can go ahead and click on live broadcast on MSO Radio, North Shore Sports Night, and just click on the arrow, and you click on the arrow, and you should be able to hear something here in a minute. But anyway, I'm monitoring as we go along, just testing it out here. Let me just make sure my my meters are all working correctly, and we are broadcasting. Okay, so tonight, a big football weekend, of course, here on the North Shore once again. Second weekend gone, as I was gone also, but I'm back. And tonight we'll talk with Masconomet football coach Jim Pugh, as the Chieftains are 2-0, off to a very quick 2-0 start with a big win over Malden Catholic, 24-6. Over the weekend, we'll talk with Matt Bouchard of the Salem Witches, and Salem is off to a great start. 36-0 over Essex Tech, second win in a row for the Witches. Ben Smolsky, the Newburyport High School football coach, first-year coach as head coach at Newburyport, wins his first game of the season with a victory over Ipswich, I believe it was. Let me just check it out here. Where are you, Newburyport? Yeah, Newburyport 10 and Ipswich 7. We'll talk to Coach Smolsky. We'll talk to Coach Gavin Monagle of Masconomet High School, who succeeded Jim Pugh, of course, at Masco, as Masconomet wins for the first time over the weekend as well. We'll also check in with Ryan Nolan, Danvers Falcons. They are now 2-0 to start the season. And we'll have our usuals. We'll talk with, time permitting, we'll talk with Steve Kraus, the sports editor of the Daily Item. And we'll also chat with Gary Larrabee, of course, as always, at the half hour. We'll talk with Gary, sports historian and golf writer here in the area. And Mr. Kearns has a ribbon. What do you got here? Old biker? Yeah, you are an old biker, all right. Put your headset on there, coach. You there?
I'm here. Can't you see me?
I can see you all right. Okay. All right. So, anyway, we've got a lot of coaches here lined up and others coach, so we're going to get at it very quickly. You saw a pretty good game on Friday night yourself.
Yes, we did. Marty and I did Danvers Peabody. We weren't quite, didn't know what quite to expect after the performances of each team. The week before, we figured Danvers would come out and probably based on Peabody's performance the week before, probably put up a lot of points against them. That didn't happen. Peabody's defense played outstanding. They got beat on one outstanding offensive play and by Matt McCarthy. And other than that, it was defensive struggle, but it was, you know, nothing game till 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. But it didn't feel like a badly played, sloppy game. There were a couple of turnovers, but you know, each team was running very, very crisp plays. We're getting a whole lot out of them, and then there was some penalties, but there was some outstanding defensive plays, and it was just a game that continually moved. It didn't drag, and so like it had the feel. It was a well-played game.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it was like watching a shutout by both hitters. It was like watching a nothing-nothing game in hockey that both teams are up and down the ice, and they're getting chances, but they can't make anything of them. And so it was a very, very entertaining game.
All right, well, let's save that for Coach Nolan. We're going to be talking with him pretty soon.
Yes.
And I'd like to know what you did to my computer, because it certainly doesn't look like it did before I left. But, okay, you got the broadcast on, all right? I listened to you guys when I was down in Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, we had one problem. When we went to record the first time, this went white. And then it actually started recording. Then it just simply stopped recording, so we shut the audition
yeah,
down.
Yeah, because you opened have... Yeah, I can show you what you did wrong.
Opened it up again,
okay.
And it was fine the rest of the game.
Good. And it was a good broadcast. Plus, we had our video broadcast. I saw a little bit of that as well down in Philadelphia. I watched Bill and Paul Ingram cover the Gloucester-Beverly game, and that was pretty exciting. Great video. I mean, it's so enjoyable if you can't go to these games. But, of course, we encourage you to go to the games and behave yourselves. Okay, we need to take our first break of the evening, and then when we come back, we will check in with Maskinomet. Oh, I said it again. We'll check in with Hamilton Wenham football coach Jim Pugh. We're going to talk to Maskinomet coach Monica later. Okay, we'll be back.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender. MSONewsSports.com is your connection to North Shore news and sports. Local video and radio interviews, photos, and much more. And a daily local radio newscast on North Shore Today.
All right, I screwed up and I gave the wrong school, but Hamilton Wenham football coach Jim Pugh is with us now. The Generals are 2-0, and Coach, hello there, and congratulations on a great start.
Thank you. It's been a good start. Yeah, that's for sure, and it's great to be on talking with you guys at 2-0.
Yeah, absolutely.
At this point, we were 0-2, so 2-0 is better. I can tell you that.
Well, I'm noticing that, you know, statistically, obviously we didn't do your game, but statistically I'm noticing that, you know, you had a big game from your quarterback, Billy Whalen, and also Cam Peach had a big game offensively. So tell us a little bit about this game you came out ahead over Malden Catholic with a big win.
With North Reading.
North Reading, I'm sorry, Malden. Yep, Malden Catholic, someone else. Sorry about that, yep.
That was a different life.
I'm about to get to that in a little while, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's Coach Monagle now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did have a good win. But we had North Reading, and it was a great win. And the thing that impressed our coaches about our kids, I mean, the kids really just came to play and were very physical and very confident. And, you know, I mean, you make mistakes in games and you know, but we played really hard and we played very physical football. And that's the thing that is, you know, it's not totally surprising, but that was not something that we thought would be our strength this year. But it seems to be. We're coming up and we're playing very physical football and having 3 and 4 guys in on a tackle. So North Reading has some very good, their quarterback by throw is very good. But having Cam back full-time, and he played defense full-time, and, you know, he's just a playmaker. I mean, he stands out. And when he's, you know, going up for the ball and catching it and, you know, making plays, and defensively he's in on, you know, like 10 tackles, and he punts for us. You know, he just, it was, you know, against Bishop Fenwick, they had, you know, they had doubled him up, and we went away and used him more as a decoy. But against North Reading, we wanted to get him, you know, we don't want him to just be a decoy, let's put it that way. So Billy was able to get him the ball, and he goes and gets it.
Coach, you're,
You know, as a former quarterback myself, it's great when you have a receiver like Jake Lanciani and Cam Peach that, you know, you throw the ball up and you're pretty confident that they're going to come down with it.
Yeah, I noticed a couple of times last week where Billy Whalen would just throw it to a spot and Lanciani would just go there and go after it. Nowhere near the ball when it was launched, but he went to it,
right,
and got it and beat the defender. Very, very impressive. And, of course, you're right, with Peach on the other side. But Jim, I want to ask you about what does a guy like Cam Peach add to special teams? Because you mentioned his punting, which is outstanding. And does that make it a little bit easier to get your special teams in order early in the season?
Our snap, our long snapper is our captain and 3-year starter, middle linebacker, fullback, Phil Durgan. And Phil is a long snapper, and, he has all the colleges that are not only recruiting him as a football player, but as you know how important it is to be for a long snapper. So they love him as a long snapper too. So, you know, when you have someone that, you know, he gets it back there on that extra point. Jake's our kicker, Billy's our holder, and then Cam's the punter. Yeah, it gives us a lot of confidence, you know, when we're out there, and special teams is so important. And, you know, a lot of times we do spend the time because, you know, it's such a big part of the game, and a lot of times we as coaches don't put in that due diligence and get the special teams the special team work out there. But we have, and then to have some guys who have experience, have been doing it for 3 years, and are confident, that helps a lot. I mean, that's made a difference. The other part is Cam is someone that is not afraid to fair catch and, can come up and save 20 yards on a punt, you know, where normally it bounces and then, you know, it might take about 20 yards for the other team. But Cam is always coming up and making the play and fair catching if he has to. But, he's fearless when it comes to running back punts.
Jim, what how big is Durgan as your long snapper?
Phil's probably, somewhere 5'11", 6 feet, and he's, 190 pounds. He's our, he's one of the strongest kids on the team and a lifter and, just captain, hardworking, a great leader and a catcher in baseball, and he takes charge on a baseball field. He takes charge on a football field. He's the middle linebacker. He makes all the calls. So, but he's not 6'4" in long snapping, but he's a good sized kid.
You know, and for college to be interested in him, it's definitely his technique that's drawing their attention, and knowing he's 6'1", 195 now, you put him into the college dining hall eating meat and potatoes every day. You're looking at somebody who could probably put on 25, 30 pounds and handle it well. And now you got a 6 foot, 230-pound guy doing your long snapping. And if you look at the history of the Patriots, Bill Belichick likes those kind of guys that size. He doesn't mind an undersized long snapper because he wants the technique and aren't really right. Interested in the size.
Yeah, we told him that as a player being recruited as a linebacker and he's more of a NESCAC type of player, or Union, WPI, and RPI, those schools. But as a long snapper, he's right up there. I mean, he can snap as well as, we had a college coach in there looking at him, and, his time on the long snap is as good as, some of the Division I guys. It's just, for the special teams kids, I've had kids before, and, you want to make a choice. Do you want to play Division III football and play football, or do you want to go to a bigger school and be a long snapper or, a punter? That's for the kid to decide what he really wants to do.
Right. Coach, you started 0-2, and now you're 2-0. What's the biggest difference over the last 2 years?
I think the kids are confident. They're winners, and as I've said before, I know the history of Hamilton Wenham, and even the recent history where these guys have all been playing, and they're all winners. They win on the basketball court, they win on the lacrosse field, they win in baseball. They got Hamilton Wenham's athletic program is outstanding, and there's a tradition of winning, and we have good athletes, and with a strong tradition. So they've played confidently for the first two games, and they did last year. Last year we were, we were new, and now it's second year with the same coaching staff. It's a lot easier for everyone. They know what we're expecting. They know our offense. They know the defense. So things have clicked. But, as is always the case, you need players, and these kids are players. So we got some outstanding players, and they're playing to their potential. And if we can keep doing that, one game at a time, I like our chances. I think we're... As I usually tell teams that I coach, we're capable of beating anyone on our schedule, and we're capable of losing to anyone on our schedule on any given day. So if we come out and play our game, we do feel like good things will happen.
Coach, what's the quick thumbnail on Greater Lawrence coming up this weekend?
We got Greater Lawrence, and we just watched them, and they beat Austin Prep. They got a lot of kids, and they got a strong line and a quarterback that like the other two quarterbacks that we faced. He can run and throw. Now, we were fortunate against Corey Bright at Fenwick that he had the injury, but the kid from North Reading, Kyle Bythrow, he was someone that could throw and ran and run, and that's what we'll see again this week. It's the same spread offense. Quarterback that can run and throw the ball.
Jim, we're really happy for you and the guys over at Hamilton Wenham. We're going to be talking to Maskenomet next. Sorry for the confusion. I'm a mess.
That's okay. Hello to Gav. And yes, congratulations to Maskenomet.
Okay, Coach. We'll talk to you again next week or the week after, whatever. But thanks, Jim, and congratulations again.
Okay, thanks, Tim. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Coach.
Jim Pugh, who is the football coach at Hamilton Wenham. And needless to say, I've been screwing that up. We're going to talk, I hope, to Coach Gavin Monagle, who was the coach at Maskenomet. They beat Malden Catholic over the weekend 24-6. Hamilton Wenham beat North Reading 28-14. So we will take a break and see if I can get my pathetic act together here. And we'll check in for our next interview here on North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
A great way to monitor what's happening on the North Shore? Get the MSO New Sports app. A click here, a click there, you're listening or watching North Shore football. And check out the latest stories on our webpage, msonewsports.com.
clock out with that one. So we got to try another one here.
Bouchard.
Yeah, go ahead. We'll try to call Salem football coach Matt Bouchard live here on the radio.
They didn't just try to call.
We are working on it here. All right, we're back with Salem football coach Matt Bouchard. And, Coach, second win, congratulations.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Big win, big shutout, 36-0 over Essex Tech. Give us a little thumbnail about that one.
Yeah, I think for us, we knew going into it, Essex Tech was going to be kind of physical and downhill. And as you probably saw, we had probably about 25 to 30 minutes, like almost like a monsoon. So we really kind of had to, on both sides, really try to establish the run and really control the line of scrimmage, and I think my guys are really up for the challenge. It was great to see. We kind of really, outside of the first possession, we were really able to kind of control things on the ground and really fight through that weather, and I think it kind of set us up going into the second quarter really kind of from a field position perspective. We really controlled the field.
Was that a home game, coach, or were you away?
We were home. Yep, we're on Bertram Field.
All right, so who did it for you? Give me some particulars on offense and defense, some of the kids who stood out for you.
Yeah, so Vinny Gaskins, another big day for us. He had over 150 yards rushing. You know, he had two plays over 40 yards. You know, really when he got out in space, you know, he was really impressive to watch. Another one is Jeffrey Rodriguez. Jeffrey Rodriguez only had a handful of touches, but each one of those touches were big for us. He actually had a reception and a rush for a touchdown, and he also recovered a blocked punt in the end zone. So he really had a really strong day, and I think specifically Jeffrey on defense, he graded out a champion playing the safety spot, really had a strong day on defense too. So those guys, performed really well, but I think for us, really the offensive line, I think just – really did an outstanding job, really kind of allowing those guys to really get things going. So kudos to those guys. They did a great job.
What's this do for the confidence, coach, of not only the kids who have been with you now in this program, but for the younger kids who maybe haven't seen this kind of success at the high school in a little while? You know, is there a difference in attitude or the way the kids practice or what? Is there something that's noticeable?
Oh, without question. Without question. I think that, again, every underclassman in this program is looking for guidance, right? And if you have upperclassmen that are not only executing on the field, but they're kind of setting a tone, whether it be in the classroom or socially, you know, how they're approaching their kind of day-to-day life, they're really setting a great standard. And I'm seeing things that it's taken 3 years for me to get some of these guys to understand how important some of these pieces are to being successful. Mm-hmm. And you have incoming freshmen that they're getting it right now. So I've only worked with them for, a month, and, we're not really having any of those conversations anymore. They get it, and they're moving on. So it's just allowing us to take much bigger steps as a program. And that's a tribute to, again, the dedication of some of these seniors and juniors.
This is going to sound like a silly question, but I know when I was learning how to fly, there was a saying that the attitude of the plane is as important as the altitude. Attitude meaning on your XYZ axis. How important is attitude, coach? Because you get kids who are athletes. You've got kids who are strong. You know, they've got ability. They've got talent. But that attitude is something, and I don't even quite know how to define it. But it's something I'm sure that you coach.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think it's one of the most important things, not only in football, but in life. And I think, when we talk about life lessons and some of the things that we're trying to get across to these kids, I think attitude is one of the things that, we really push. I think it was about 10 years ago, I went to a conference, and they were talking about, looking across the world at what differentiates the most successful people in the world. And Stanford had done a study, and whether the percentages are true to fact or not, I'm not sure, but it was between 85 and 90% of the reason why some of these ultra-successful people were successful was because of their attitude. And a very small percentage of it had to do with networking, education, things like that. So for me, walking out of that conference, even if half of that was right, right, even if half of it was right, it's a big enough number for me to understand how important it is when it comes to building something successful. So it, without question, it's been a cornerstone and a pillar of any program that I've coached that ultimately has become successful.
Wow, that's really interesting to hear, I'll tell you. Okay, Tier 3, I'm looking at the Northeastern Conference. Man, Salem, Swampscott, Lynn English, all off to 2-0 starts and scoring points. You got Saugus coming up, and they've scored some points even though they're 0-2. So how are you guys looking at this one coming back into the conference?
Yeah, I think these guys are really excited. The energy of practice was great today. I think really, you know, they've set the stage where, you know, we feel like we're kind of starting to hit on all cylinders a little bit, and having that type of confidence going into conference play is going to be huge. I think for us as a team, we're going to be kind of transitioning away from kind of downhill power football and more into a spread offense, a lot of kind of RPOs, a lot of option type of concepts, you know, and guys in space versus kind of inside the tackle box and coming right at you. So for us, I think defensively it suits our personnel very well. You know, we've traditionally done fairly well against spread teams, but like anything, you know, for the last month we've been really kind of focusing on, you know, physical play. So I think the kids are excited to get out in space and really work at that, and I think they run a style of defense, the 3-3 stack, that is very dynamic. You know, that means there's three down linemen and three linebackers, and they can bring pressure from multiple fronts. So for us, you know, these kids are going to get a lot of looks this week, really trying to kind of make sure that, you know, we cover our gaps and we don't allow that penetration. So we got our hands full. So regardless of their record, you know, they do some good things over there that we're going to have to really kind of make sure we're sound to walk away victorious.
Doesn't sound like you. It does not sound like you high school coaches get much rest this time of year.
Man. No, but that's why we do it, right? I mean, I think we're all, I mean, the kids and the coaches are all excited every day about what we're doing. You know, to get out there and to showcase, specifically in Salem's case, you know, all the hard work that these kids have actually put
that's
in.
Great.
You know, it's great to see them actually kind of, you know, getting that kind of recognition for the effort that some of these guys have been putting in for many, many years.
Yeah, and recognition is one thing, but it's also great to have that win at the end of the day, to know that, okay, all the poundings you take here and there on the way up, you finally get to dish it out a little bit. So congratulations, Coach. I'm really happy for you guys, and keep it going.
Yeah, we're going to keep at it. I appreciate your time.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Matt.
I know.
That is Matt Bouchard, who was the Salem High School football coach. They are 2-0, and does feel good to win, doesn't it, Coach?
Winning solves a lot of problems.
Feels great to compete. Feels great to play. Feels great to start. But really feels good to win.
Oh, yeah. The long bus rides home are a lot shorter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you walk a little taller in the hallways on Monday morning. You know, but, you know, there's no good feeling. There's no such thing as a mall of victory, as I talked with Coach Betancourt. But you try to find the positives that will come out of an
attitude
that you can build on. And one of the things that you're so right, you know, what attitude do you bring out of that defeat? Do you hang your head on Monday afternoon in practice, or do you pick your head up and you go, okay, you know, today we're going to get a little bit better, and for next week we come out with a W.
Exactly. All right, we'll take a break. We'll try Coach Monagle again. We'll come back with somebody. This is North Shore Sports Night.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring The Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn. The following is a paid political announcement from Lynn City Councilor-at-Large, Brian LaPierre.
Since I have been elected, we have made progress. The city is growing, but there is much work to still do. Small businesses are flourishing, we've created local jobs, and continue to fight for working families all across Lynn. I have responded personally to over 1,000 constituent requests, but the work doesn't stop there. We need to keep our streets safer and our neighborhoods cleaner. We have to maintain our public services while keeping taxes affordable. The people of Lynn deserve a high level of representation. I am Brian LaPierre, and I'm running for re-election for Lynn City Councilor at Large, and I respectfully ask for one of your four votes on Tuesday, November 7th.
Okay, we're back. Having a little trouble making connections here, and we're a little bit late with Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer. Hi, Gary.
Good evening, man. How are we this evening?
Good evening. Good evening. Well, I'm a little stressed, but taking my daughter to college, but all is well. How are you doing?
We've all been down that road, Rick, and you'll do fine with it. She'll do even better, but she'll do fine.
Thanks. I hope so. Yeah, I should be able to handle
Gary,
it.
Gary, that's not going to make him feel any better.
Well,
I can tell you that right now.
That's all right. That's all right. So what's going on, Gary?
Well, let's talk about, first of all, on the big-time players. Let's talk about Mark Leishman, who won the third go-around of the FedEx Cup playoffs yesterday in outside the Chicago, pretty much blowing away the field. And he's right there in the mix to possibly win the $10 million big prize next week at the final tournament in Atlanta. And let's also make point, and then Tim can comment. I'm sure he'll have plenty of comments on Shrewsbury's Brittany Altemeyer, who lost in a playoff yesterday to the controversial Anna Nordqvist in the fifth and final major of the year on the LPGA Tour, the Evian Championship over in Europe someplace. I think it was in the Netherlands or something.
I think it was, Gary. I did catch a few minutes of that. Not a whole lot. I had a very busy weekend.
You figured because it was all that rain, there'd be a wet T-shirt contest.
Oh, you nailed it, man. There you go.
Yeah, I got there between showers, unfortunately.
Okay.
But going back to the FedEx, Leishman is not at least I think to the general public, a really well known entity on the tour, is he?
Well, no question. He almost won the tournament at the TPC Boston 2 weeks ago. The Dell Technologies Championship. He was in position to win that when he finished, I think, third or fourth. But there he is yesterday and this weekend, really, wire to wire. And the man's got some exceptional game. He knows his priorities in life. There was a near tragedy in his family, I believe, involving his wife a couple of years ago. But she's fine. his daughter, his family is fine, and we now get to see, without Rory McIlroy, I should point out, what will transpire this coming weekend in Atlanta with Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Fowler up there at the top of the top of the standings with 1 week to go, and if any of those three guys or Leishman can win this weekend, they will they'll clinch the FedEx Cup championship.
Now, what about Leishman? You know, how old is he, and what's his background on the tour?
Well, I think he played on the European Tour for a few years. He is from, and I should know the country, he's not from America. He is from, I want to say he might be from South Africa. I'm not sure exactly where he's from, but I don't have all the answers for you guys today. I must confess, for one of my rare lapses in memory, I'm not delivering too good today.
No, well,
Leishman's a five-star player. We know that. And that does set the stage for a terrific final weekend next weekend with three different winners. The player I forgot to mention in that top five is Justin Thomas, who won one of those first three FedEx Cup championships. So it looks like it could be a great weekend if you're interested in staying inside and watching the TV for 4 days.
Well, you know, certainly I think that element of having, you know, three different winners and the potential for, you know, for somebody new to come in and grab that $10 million prize and the FedEx Cup will have to have a viewership spike of some sort, rather than having it almost, you know, clearly defined who's already won. All he's going to do is show up and have a reasonable score, and he's going to walk away with it, which takes away all the suspense. This is going to be a suspense-filled weekend. Who's finishing where on each of the days leading up to Sunday?
Yeah, it's still a complicated point system, which most of us don't care for, but it does set the stage for an exceptional weekend. Of course, if you can tear yourself away from college football on Saturday, or the NFL and the Patriots with a 1 o'clock game on Sunday.
Well, the one good thing is the tournament really won't end till the Pats are playing at one. You can go from the Pats right to the final stages of the tournament.
There you go.
I guess so. You're right, but we should also talk about Brittany Altemeyer, who's been on the tour for 5 years. She's out of Shrewsbury. No one gave her much hope to succeed on the tour, but she's one of a fair share of dollars and cents over the years. She had one top five finish in Portland in that time frame, and now, of course, she's up there in some very rarefied air as a runner-up and a playoff loser at the fifth and final LPGA major of the year over across the pond, which certainly bodes well for Massachusetts' own Brittany Altemeyer going forward.
Excellent, excellent. What is there any other local stuff at this time of year going on?
Let's just talk about Rob Moppenheim for 1 minute. Had another good tournament type, 17th this weekend in the second week of the four-week Web.com playoffs. And after 2 weeks, Rob's won almost $40,000, and he's in 12th place with two tournaments to go this week. In Cleveland at the famed Canterbury Golf Club, and then next week at Atlantic Beach Country Club in Florida, if they're not still underwater down there. But Rob has a great chance to finish after 2 weeks, with 2 weeks to go, in the top 25 and earn his PGA Tour card for next, the season. The new season starts later, I guess mid-October, guys. So Rob Oppenheim is in good shape. We keep rooting for him, of course.
Sounds good. Sounds good. What else is going on?
I think that pretty much covers it. It was a very special day at the Commodore Open. The rain held off, so they had another full field for the Commodore Open, named in honor of Mike Frangos over at Myopia. They'll raise another $60,000-$70,000 and be continuing to approach $3 million in money they've raised over 48 years, guys, for the Northeast Arc, playing in the longest-running one-day charity golf tournament in America.
That is so cool. That is fantastic. I get chills every time you say that, Gary. Very close to home. Listen, I got to tell you a very quick story. My daughter's roommate, dorm roommate, the girl's boyfriend is the top golfer in the state of Pennsylvania, and he's being recruited by University of Pennsylvania. He's a senior this year. So I was talking to him about golf and talking with his dad and so on while my daughter was setting up her room. And Tim and I especially, I guess, we like to rag on Tiger Woods for some reason. But I asked him about how he got started in golf. And, you know, he said he was 4 years old watching TV with his dad when he saw Tiger Woods, and he just got inspired and wanted to do that. And Tiger Woods is his absolute sports hero. So a good turn of events, that we'll give Tiger some credit for.
He's well deserved. He gave golf a tremendous shot in the arm in his rising days to the superstar he became, and then of course he dropped the ultimate drop as a hero. But yes, I'm sure there's been many players who are still playing now and playing at the college level who were inspired by Tiger. And by golly, if they can become as good as Tiger, all the power to them.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, Gary, we'll keep it going for as long as you want. So we'll do it again next week.
We won't, guys. We'll do it in 2 weeks.
Sounds good to me. Thanks, Gary.
I look forward to it. Thanks very much.
Talk to you later.
Hey, Gary.
Gary Larrabee, the golf writer, sports historian. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Danvers football coach, keeping our fingers crossed here.
I was going to say, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. That's right. We'll be right back. We'll be back, I'll tell you that.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next-door neighbor? At Capan Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit capansavingsbank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore. Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, we are back with first-year head coach Ben Smoltzky at Newburyport High School. And, Coach, congratulations on your first win over and getting it over Ipswich on the weekend.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Coach, I know you've talked to Bill Newell, but you and I haven't chatted, and Tim. Give me a little background as to, and of course I've talked with Kyle, but give me a little background as to how you got where you are.
Hold on 1 second.
Sure, no worries.
I got my toddler flushing a diaper down the toilet right now.
Well, we knew this was going to happen. It was a risk.
Yeah, no, hey, it's live, I know that, but whatever.
there you go.
You talk about getting started just in coaching in Newburyport and stuff.
Yeah, well, just, you know, your education and how you get into football and how you ended up as the head coach.
Yeah, you know, I started coaching at Newburyport when I was younger. And then when that was for 3 years under Coach Gattiano. And then I ended up going to Saugus High School with my first teaching job for a year there. Went with Coach Broderick. Then I ended up in Lawrence for 2 years because I just went with my teaching job. And then I ended up back in Saugus for 6 years after that and worked under Coach Broderick for 6 years. And, you know, this is my third year at Newburyport, first year as the head football coach. And I worked my way over there Yeah, that was 2 years ago. So are you, going on the third year.
Are you teaching now, Ben?
Yeah, I'm a history teacher at the high school too as well.
You're at Newburyport?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I can't. That's awesome. To have the eyes in the building has got to be a real good advantage for you. That's got to feel good.
No, definitely. I coached as a teacher 1 year. I coached at Newburyport 1 year when I was teaching in Saugus. So,
right.
Being there the last 2 years, it's great. It's totally a different ball game when you're with the kids all year round. You get to form relationships, work with them in the weight room, and you know, it's great. Plus, being from Newburyport, coming back to the high school, there's no place I'd rather be.
How difficult was it, if that's the right word to use, to transition these kids from one head coach to another head coach, three head coaches now in 3 years? So,
I guess the one thing is even though they've had three different head coaches, I've been with the seniors since their sophomore year. So
right, right.
I myself, Coach John Weber and Coach Jason Bobolon have been there they've been there for 4 years with them, freshmen, and then Coach John Weber does the D-line and the offensive line with us, the varsity now. So they've had some of the same faces still coaching them, so that made the transition probably a lot easier as if I was a new guy coming in and having never coached before.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. When you're in the building, that makes a difference too. Tell me a little bit about the game over Ipswich now. A pretty close game, 10-7. Give me some highlights.
You know, it was a defensive battle early on. You know, we shot ourselves in the foot with a bad snap after we were 3rd and 2, and you know, we had a punt didn't go very far, so we put ourselves in a bad situation. And you know, it was by the end of halftime, it was us with 61 yards total offense, and Ipswich with 44 yards, and we were down 7-0. But the defense ended up, I mean, they played all night. They let up that one touchdown on the first Ipswich drive, but we were able to stop their outside gear, their triple option game and their speed option game, which helped. And you know, finally, you know, we kept driving and driving and driving, and finally we got a touchdown break with a speed option with Owen Bradbury pitching to Dante Harmon, getting a touchdown, and then you know, sophomore Walker Markevich, I think I said that right. Walker ended up kicking a 25-yard field goal. He's never played football in his life, and he stepped up and he missed the first one from like 40 and hit the 25-yarder to win the game. And then the defense was able to hold out. So I mean, they played tough. We have a lot of things to fix. I told the kids we can be a very good football team if we fix that.
Excellent, excellent. Sounds good. And I was going to say, yeah, sophomore comes in and makes it look easy, and it ain't. Listen, Coach, who are the kids now who have been your that you've recognized as leaders in your tenure there, and who you're counting on this year?
You know, when it comes to, I mean, it starts with the captain, Miles Malouf. He's a running back, outside linebacker. You have Matt Bomlin, who's a good team leader, a captain, linebacker, and offensive lineman. And then Connor Smith is our three-tech defensive tackle, and he's our left tackle, and he's a big leader on the offensive line. And you know, Owen Bradbury, quarterback, outside linebacker, playing both ways. I mean, he's a defensive-minded kid playing quarterback, so I mean, he's a very tough kid, leader by action and leader by just the way he is on the field with the kids. He's like having another coach on the field.
Oh, that's, yeah, you always need that. That certainly helps. Now, Coach, it ain't going to get any easier this week. You got to go up against Masco, so what do you see against them?
Yeah, you know, Masco, they're always, they're rolling the sidelines with 60-plus kids, and, you know, I think it was the first time in 15 years that we beat them last year, but I told the kids today, you know, it's all the number disadvantage, whatever else, that doesn't matter. What matters is the first, second, third, and fourth quarter on Friday night, and, you know, we'll keep practicing hard, and we'll be ready to give them our best.
Well, Ben, I'm looking at the Cape Ann League, and you know, it's amazing that here we are after 2 weeks, and there are only two schools at 2-0. So it looks like there's a lot of the proverbial parity going on around there.
Oh yeah, Cape Ann League, week in and week out, it's always going to be competitive, no matter what. Doesn't matter what teams are projected to be or anything. It's always always competitive, you know. So we start our league schedule with Masco, and, you know, we'll focus on them, and we'll see what happens going forward.
All righty, Coach. I know you got to go take care of business, so I appreciate it.
Sorry about that.
And I know how tired you guys must be, so I appreciate it, Ben, and we'll talk soon. Good luck,
okay,
and congratulations.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Okay, Coach, take
care.
Coach. Ben Smolsky with the little one. And Newburyport now 1-1. All right. So let's see here. What are we going to do? We struck out on a couple of coaches. Well, let's try Steve, and then we'll come back and see what happens.
Well, you know, he's last sitting second. By the phone waiting for us.
All right. Go ahead. Give him a jingle. Oh, do I have to take a break? I really don't. I think we're all caught up. So.
Thank you for calling the Daily Item. Our office is currently closed.
No kidding.
If you know your party's extension, you may enter
it. All right. I thought we struck out again.
Please hold while your call is being transferred to
the office of Steve Krause, extension 1229.
Are we live?
The suspense. Oh, yeah, we're on.
Okay, just checking.
We're on. This is live radio. Who used to do that at night? Larry Glick. Remember that? Larry
you
Glick.
You reached the office of Steve Krause.
Would make these calls.
He was unavailable to take your call at this time.
All right,
time.
Well, we tried.
Please leave a message, and your call will be returned
right.
as soon as possible. Thank you, and have a nice day.
Have a nice day.
After the
day
tone,
is over.
Please record your message. When finished, you may hang up to deliver the message or press
this
pound
isn't gonna win
for
me
more
radio
options.
Awards.
Hey, Mr. Krause, Vene, Vidi, Vici. We came, we called. You know answer. So we'll have to talk to you next week. Talk to you. Bye.
Okay. All right. Well, that takes care of that. Well, listen, we do have more football games coming up this weekend. Let's get into that. As coming up on Friday night, we will be doing Somerville at Gloucester. We have to change our schedule up on the post on the website. Somerville at Gloucester, that proves to be a pretty important game for both schools. They are in the same tier. It'll be a league game. Gloucester 1-0 in the league so far, and they're 2-0 overall. Somerville 1-1 overall.
That just seems so weird. You look there, Rick. I'm sorry. Tier 2. Gloucester Classical, Somerville Medford.
Yeah, I know.
In Revere.
I know. At any rate, we will have that game. That'll be Friday night on Channel A. That will be... No, I'll be on Channel B, excuse me. Channel B, that will be me with Paul Ingram, I think. I don't know if Coach Ingram will be able to make it, but he's going to try. And then we have a doubleheader from Lynn. Is that correct? Because they're showing Lynn English and Lynn Classical. No, they don't show Lynn Classical.
They're both at 7 o'clock.
They're not showing. No, I don't see the Lynn Classical one.
Well, it's Classical at Revere.
No, and it's from what Bill is saying, you guys are both at Manning Field. You got Revere Classical, and the second game on Channel A will be North Reading at English. And then on Saturday, I do know this, Everett at St. John's Prep will be our live streaming video game, and that is a 4 o'clock start. Everett at the Prep, and I believe the Prep is 1-1? Yep. Not sure.
Yeah, Bill, they got beat the other night by Central Catholic.
Bill will be at the Prep tomorrow interviewing the coaches and getting some features from there. So that's the name of that tune. Well, we did try. With a couple of minutes left, Coach, let's clean out the sports attic. What's on your mind?
Well, the Pats certainly bounced back well as...
300 yards in the first quarter.
Probably 90% of the... At least 99% of the Patriot Nation believed that they would. Only the naysayers, you know, would have said, no, they'll stumble again. You know, everybody's saying, well, you know, they were playing the Aints and not anybody really significant. You still play.
It's the NFL.
You still play the NFL. You still play a team with talent. Did they exploit some of Saints' weaknesses? Yes, they did. But if you look at Drew Brees' stats, he threw for 360 yards. So, you know, they exploited some of the Patriots' weaknesses as well. But again, the Pats jumped on them early and often, and they continued to play consistently, getting down the field. And when they stalled, they had Gostkowski and the leg. He involved a lot of different people in the offense, as he's going to have to. He's going to have to spread it out even more than he normally does. I mean, they got to stop getting nicked up. That's one thing for sure. Hopefully, you know, some of the nicks that they took are only very temporary during this week, and they'll be back into the lineup. It'll be interesting to see if Belichick makes any more moves along the waiver wire or guys that have been cut.
I got to tell you. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I forgot. In Philadelphia this weekend was International Rugby England. England was some. You know how the NFL plays a game over there?
Yeah.
Well, their rugby league was playing a game over here, and I was in the elevator.
Was it rugby or curling?
It was rugby. It was rugby.
Okay.
And there were three Newcastle players in the elevator with me. Now you could probably put 20 people in this elevator.
How many teeth did they?
Oh,
those guys tend to not have
these
teeth.
Guys, no, these guys look like movie stars. I mean, they were all. And they range, I want to say, probably from early 20s to maybe early 30s. And we saw a bunch of other guys. But there wasn't one guy under maybe 6'2", 230, 240.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear Lord, were they big. And one gentleman we met from Fiji was an absolute, he looked like a Greek god. He was in the swimming pool. My wife was in the swimming pool. He's like, holy crap, who is that? And I guess they lost. They lost like 29-7 to the other team. I guess Scosi or so. I can't pronounce the other team's name, but Newcastle. But it's funny. And I said to I think the guy was looked like a coach, but I think he was a player. I said, you know, I thought American football was crazy, but you guys are off the charts.
I'll watch that during the weekend. I mean, it's intense. You got to figure, you know, these guys are going full bore, no pads. You know, and they're just wailing the bejesus out of each other. You know,
and they're so big.
Yeah. Oh, that. I mean, you look at them, and they all look like linebackers.
Oh, yes.
They're all yes. Linebackers and halfbacks. You know, off linebackers or fullbacks, and even the smaller guys are ripped. But I mean, you know, you're
the smallest guy I saw was probably about 6 feet, maybe. But he had to weigh 240, 250,
oh, yeah.
And it was just a rock.
But you need to be to play that game at that pace and to get hit and survive. And, you know, I love the diving into the end zone, I guess it is. You know, it's a fascinating sport to watch, even though you don't understand just what the hell they're doing out there. It's fun to watch humans collide, I guess.
Well, do you realize, Coach, third weekend coming up already in high school sports, and it's been a terrific start for football and all the other sports
as well. Yeah, there's been a couple of surprise teams that haven't done as well as we probably thought they would have. A lot of times based upon teams' tradition and what they accomplished last year. And there's been a couple of new surprise teams that are playing really, really well. And again, if they could go, okay, well, you know, they may be once again among the weak sisters of the poor. But it's exciting to see some shift in the dynamics within the league. I think Gloucester is at 2-0 has surprised some people. I think some coaches would say, well, we expected them to be good, but I know they're playing really well.
Well, Coach said they don't have a lot of numbers, but the kids, he said even before the season, he said, I think we've got some tough kids.
In 2010, Paul Ingram's Super Bowl champions, 13-0, the second consecutive 13-0 season for those seniors, they started 23 kids, and the same 23 kids played the majority of the snaps. Except into the second half and late third, early fourth quarter, when a lot of the sub-varsity kids would get in. Those guys carried that team. And so what you need, you can have large numbers, but if you don't have players, if you don't have some you know, a decent level of talent, you know, you're going to struggle, and your hope is to build on the talent level, the knowledge of the kids, and the faith of the kids that they can achieve. It's, you know, Paul said that's why he hung on the moment. He knew what he had in those kids, and they were just outstanding, and not one of those kids let him down that senior year.
Okay, that's Tim Kearns. We'll see you next week.
God willing, and the crypto rise.
There you go. Nobody pushes finger on the magic button. I'm Rick Moore, Bill Proposky, our producer and engineer, Bill Newell, the voice of the North Shore. We'll be back next week. See ya. Bye-bye.